Navigating the murky waters of Albany politics can be a challenge for even the most seasoned legislator, and particularly so this year. The session that ended last month was marked by new leadership and old divisions operating under a cloud of ongoing investigations. That's what Brooklyn Assemblywoman Diana Richardson walked into as a rookie legislator when she arrived in January. As WNYC's Karen Rouse reports, her first year was an education.
Hey, what's up?
Diana Richardson is standing on the floor of the New York State Assembly, watching her colleagues debate the state budget. Her face is tense, and her hand clutches a small, clear paperweight that has a cross with the word faith inscribed on it.
Huge budget.
A staggering $150 billion spending plan.
But I'm focused on the anti-gun violence money, and I'm monitoring that line very closely.
That's $4 million, and her first real test as a rookie legislator. The question is, can she deliver the money for the people in the 43rd District to help steer young people away from guns? Richardson arrived from Brooklyn last year, having unseated a Democratic Party darling in a special election. But here, in Albany, she's one of 150 assembly members, all with competing interests. And the leaders seem more eager to fight the suburban heroin epidemic than to fight urban violence.
This is our heroin epidemic. It's called gun violence. And that's where money in the budget has to go for us.
Richardson is 33, and she comes to Albany at an opportune moment for a young woman eager to have a voice. Former Speaker Sheldon Silver ran the assembly with a firm hand, demanding loyalty from fellow Democrats and punishing those who crossed him. But Richardson arrived just as he was leaving. He was indicted, removed from leadership, and later convicted on corruption charges. His successor, Speaker Carl Hastie, is known for ruling by consensus.
I don't feel like I had to fall into line.
And back in March, when it looked like Brooklyn would be shortchanged in the budget,
I hit the roof. I mean, I got into an argument with some key head people in here and everything today.
Brooklyn Assemblyman Joe Lentol was there.
She kind of, I'm not going to say ambushed, but confronted the speaker when he came into the conference. She didn't understand why other parts of the state were going to get it and not her district in Brooklyn. And the speaker says, I'm working on it. I'm doing it. Just give me a chance.
Lentol has been in the assembly 43 years. Richardson considers him a mentor. He says she's got a lot to learn.
She doesn't understand all of the nuances of what the protocol is and what the establishment expects of you when you come to Albany.
Richardson has always marched to her own beat. The daughter of West Indian immigrants, she was an honor student in grade school, but rebelled in high school.
Every day I sat in the hallway talking, playing cards. My mother put me out.
Richardson landed at Covenant House, the home for teenage runaways, and she realized she'd been sheltered.
I never was exposed to, like, people on drugs. I remember one girl, Deborah, for sure, and I don't know whatever happened of her. I watched her get pulled in by a pimp for prostitution.
That experience marked a turning point for Richardson.
And it was there that I watched so many youth get tied up in the prostitution arena.
Now, she uses that experience to advocate for troubled youth as a legislator. Like back in February, when she co-hosted a forum at the legislature's Black and Puerto Rican caucus event in Albany.
So many youth get tied up in the juvenile justice arena. It was then, in that experience, that I said, okay, something has got to change.
She got her GED and earned a master's from Baruch College. By then, she was a single mother herself. Then, she got her first taste of state office.
She came to me and said that she was interested in running for office one day, and would I kind of mentor her through the process.
State Senator Kevin Parker hired her to be his constituent liaison, helping community members who faced evictions, deportations, or lost jobs. He thought it would turn her off.
It's very demanding, emotionally and spiritually. And just to have people coming and crying and, you know, dumping their grief on you and their concerns.
Richardson didn't look back. She worked as his campaign field director and joined her local community board. Then, last year, the assembly seat representing Crown Heights and East Flatbush opened up. Richardson decided to go for it, even though it meant challenging the Democrats' hand-picked candidate.
Okay, this is a great story for you.
Andrew Sloat is a leader with the New Kings Democrats, a reform club in Brooklyn. The way he tells it, the Brooklyn machine broke down, and an insurgent pulled together enough support to get his name on the Democratic line.
The hilarious thing was that he then didn't turn in the paperwork on time. So
in the end, the Democratic line was empty.
Diana Richardson ran on the Working Families line and happened to be a much more energetic campaigner.
She won with close to 50% of the vote.
Through a fluke, the community was able to elect someone who was not in the pockets of the Democratic Party power players.
Her campaign filings show she gets mostly small donations, less than $100, from local supporters. The unions have been more generous, especially the communications workers and powerful healthcare workers union that have given her thousands of dollars. In Albany, the pay-to-play culture has been a problem, with campaign contributors wielding excessive influence over legislation. But Richardson says there is no conflict for her because the unions want what she wants.
Who wouldn't want to try to help people who've worked their whole life secure their pension? Or like, let's say the nurses, they're lobbying me right now about the patient-staff ratio. But wouldn't you want your nurse to have an adequate patient-staff ratio so that she's giving you a higher level and quality of care?
Karen Scharf of the Working Families Party says she's confident Richardson won't sell out.
I think every legislator in Albany, because they have to run for re-election every 2 years, is under pressure to do things that will make people with money want to give them money. She's got enough local grassroots support that I think she can, you know, stay away from having to take money she doesn't want to take.
The eighth floor of the legislative office building is a world away from central Brooklyn. Photos of key supporters line the walls of Richardson's office.
The most important person here is my son, Isaac. And then this is the Honorable Dr. Una Clark. That's my mentor. This is Ozzy, Bishop Gonzalez.
The corner fridge is stocked with juices and yogurt to get her through the long hours of the session. There's pound cake for visitors who drive up from Brooklyn to lobby her. This session, she helped pass the $15 minimum wage. She sponsored bills that are still stuck in committee, like one to create a board to advocate for foster kids. And that $4 million she demanded for anti-violence programs, the legislature approved five. Assemblyman Lentahl.
I think she had a lot to do with it, don't you?
Richardson says the first lesson she learned in Albany is staying true to her values.
You pick the issue that matters to your constituency the most, or where you know we need the most help in, and you stick to that, and you let that be your one talking point. At the end of the day, everybody's going to look back and say, that was Diana Richardson.
She's up for re-election this fall, and this time, she's got the machine backing on the Democratic line. For WNYC, I'm Karen Rouse.